Hey guys, how are you? This is Will McDowell here, and I am sat right by the popcorn in Cinemax 7 in Berlin for the Berlinale. It's the 2016 edition, we all know that, but it's the 66th edition of the festival. And this is episode one of Future Keynote, which is an attempt to document and interview people who make interesting filmmaking that's going to shape the future of cinema. And for episode one, we've chosen to talk to Alex Anguanta. It's kind of a hard name to say, Anguanta. I'll just keep practicing and then maybe I'll get it. And he is a Chilean filmmaker who's just completed a film called You'll Never Be Alone, set in Chile, and it is a film inspired by the real-life murder of a gay teenager who actually the director kind of knew in passing. And I guess it's a universal story, as this is something that could happen anywhere, but it feels very Chilean, and I wanted to talk to him about making cinema in that part of the world. Obviously, I wanted to ask him a question about Rihanna, and Alex is a musician, and he's actually quite famous in Chile, so we kind of got on to talking about that kind of stuff.
Well, it's very cold for me, but I'm very happy to be here. It's been great so far.
Okay, what have you been up to?
Mostly interviews, actually. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see one film. So.
Any you've like read about, or have you kind of been too much in a whirlwind?
No, I arrived like the day before yesterday, so between jet lag and interviews and protocol meetings and stuff, I haven't had much time yet. I will.
Okay. So, nunca vas a estar solo. I don't even know where to begin, because I've just... This is now the second film at the Berlinale where I've seen someone being kind of beaten up so badly that I held my face, and I was watching this in one of the journalist rooms, and I think the whole table like turned to look at me like, oh God, is this guy okay? But
I'm sorry about that.
No. So it was based on or inspired by a very famous, I guess, gay hate crime, gay murder.
Yeah.
Tell me about that and how the script kind of came about from there.
Well, yeah, inspired by is more accurate to describe what happened. I mean, so it was a very famous case. I don't know how to call it. But it was a kid who got beaten up, then tortured for hours, agonized in a hospital for a few weeks, then died. And I actually knew him. I worked as a musician like for a decade almost now, and he was a fan of mine. I knew him very superficially, but enough to, you know, identify him. He used to write to me, so we weren't friends or anything, but I knew him well enough to know it was him when I saw him on the news. So it affected me deeply. Not only as, you know, a citizen or whatever, but as a person too. They played my songs at his funeral, so it was kind of a shocking thing to be involved in such a thing. And at the same time, I was starting to get into screenwriting, and I thought that story was very urgent enough to include it as a premise for fiction, and fiction serves still a very important purpose to me, in the sense that it allows to abstract an issue more than limited to, you know, one kid.
Sure. That's a kind of interesting theme, as I've now seen 10 films, I think. And loads of them, I guess, were all films based in some part on real events. So I've kind of been really thinking about that. I think I'm also a filmmaker, so I'm kind of thinking, how do I want to go next? Do I want to return to documentary or keep doing fiction? And I think what worked really well in this film is, yeah, it felt really tangible. And I often think South American cinema, and I really don't like this phrase, it's a phrase that, like, I guess Europeans use to talk about cinemas that they're not really sure of. But I always feel that, especially films from Argentina and Chile, always feel very isolated. I mean, they're both, as countries, very, very, very different. But there's a kind of, like, annexation of those countries, which I didn't find in your film, and I found that really exciting. I mean, even things like the hilarious Britney scene where they're kind of like doing the Britney voice and stuff just kind of felt like very new in the sense that it really put these kids into a context. I mean, this can happen anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, kids, even not rich or poor kids, they already have grown up with the internet, and they know exactly, you know, the latest Rihanna single the day it's published. So there's no difference in an access of information.
Sure.
There is in cultural values that they inherit or are affected by. But yeah, maybe cinemas from my part of the world have been afraid to escape from some sort of cliche that things have to be quote real unquote more than reality. They cannot include a Britney Spears reference because it'll somehow
devalue the art.
Right.
Yeah,
take away from
the
seriousness of the subject.
In fact, when it actually kind of makes it actually does the reverse.
It enriches it probably, or it makes it more.
No, it makes it tangible.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it makes it like something you can really. I hate that phrase, but relate to. I mean, it's.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I've personally done that Britney impression many times, and I do know the latest Rihanna single, and it's called Work. it's really great. Have you heard the new Rihanna album?
Yeah.
And
it got really bad reviews.
Oh, don't worry. Everything gets bad reviews. You'll see the films here get bad. The good ones get bad reviews. The rubbish ones get great reviews. Who cares anymore? But what do you think of that album?
I like it.
Cool.
I like it. I'm a big Rihanna fan.
Me too.
My favorite track, for the record, is Man Down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of Rihanna's whole
discography.
Mine is What's My Name, featuring Drake, and it's the first time Drake and Rihanna really fall in love. And the video's in New York as well, so it has a special place for me.
Cool.
So I guess you don't have that long, which is always so stressful and annoying. But we'll come back to music, actually, because I think that's really relevant to you. But when I first started watching the film, I was like, oh, okay, we've got a kind of Almodovar vibe going on. The title, like, bound up on that music. So obviously when that tone shifts, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone who's going to see it, that was a moment. And I don't know the actor's name who plays Juan, but he was really special, and the way you directed him was outstanding. How or who are these actors, but particularly the guy playing Juan, and how did you find him?
Well, he's a quite famous actor in Chile from the theater and the cinema. He's been in a few acclaimed productions from Chile, like No or Gloria.
Oh, he was in No. Okay.
Yeah, in Gloria, he was this really mediocre boyfriend of the protagonist.
Okay.
And he's great.
What's his name?
Sergio Hernandez.
Okay.
And yeah, it was great to work with him. He's very committed, and he was very invested into the emotionality of the story, which to me is almost a strategy to attach something real to which people can connect while discussing, you know, deeper issues.
Okay. And how did you find your lead?
Well, I did a casting process for that, and he's still studying theater. Actually, it's all the young actors are debuting, I think.
Okay.
90%.
So that's a nice sound. So on the topic of kind of this South American thing of like wanting to keep drama or stay to like this real cinema thing. Yeah, this is for you.
Okay.
Enjoy. It's free water. It's on me.
It was vodka.
Oh, I wish. I really liked how it was graded. I think that was interesting. Obviously, it heightened the drama. It was kind of like desaturated at times, but then really ramped up in others. Who was your grader, and what was your kind of criteria? Did you sit and watch it be graded, or did you kind of give them some space and then come back and see it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a kind of a long process of editing, and that that was really, really useful in letting the film mature and develop like the layers that I wanted it to have. And function was very important to me, that it went as far as possible from a biopic and served as some sort of fairy tale. And function also as a symbolic tale, and even the structure function as a symbol of the themes I wanted to talk about.
Sure. So how did you kind of go about getting this made? And was Daniel, is it Daniel? Yeah, Daniel Dreyfuss. Was he kind of the pioneer of this film, would you say? Or why am I?
No, it was produced by Isabel Orellana, mm-hmm. a Chilean producer. And
did you approach her with the script? Or
yeah.
You kind of, okay.
And, you know, it's a very... I keep going back to this word, but it's a very emotional story. And that was very important to me. And it's a way of, you know, connecting with people. It's mm-hmm. It's a way... It's very easy, I think, for people to connect with the emotions of the story. And that was already present in the script. We had to struggle a little bit for finding finance because Chile has almost no cinema industry, so...
Yeah,
it's pretty hard.
Hey, I'm from the UK and it's almost impossible now, so I feel your pain. Okay, the sex scenes, I thought they were really strong, and I did feel like I haven't seen gay sex scenes, especially like adolescent ones. I really don't think I've seen them done very well before. You kind of handled that really nicely. I really wonder what a Chilean audience will go in. I mean, how they'll respond to this film. I imagine really warmly. Do you have any kind of trepidations about that?
Not really. I mean, in so many ways, whenever you... When you're inside the filmmaking process, you start to realize that every single decision mm-hmm. is also an ideological decision. Even the way you frame a sex scene can be mm-hmm. ideological. And in that sense, it's something that I feel I am... amicably communicating to the audience. I'm not being violent about it. I'm just saying this is a gay boy. He's mm-hmm. having sex. This is a gay sex scene.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
no judging, not and also not with a exploitative attitude or an in your face like mm. check it out, you'll be shocked by this. It's not about that. Just he's mm-hmm. having sex.
Sure. Awesome.
That's what it looks like.
My final, yeah, of course. My final question is kind of as a musician now moving into film or having like properly moved into film, what are you going to kind of keep doing this or what's the game plan?
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
I'm already planning my new script, taking time with it, of course.
Is it going to be in Chile?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I find it, I don't know, I don't feel the need to, you know, do it on another language or use other actors, famous actors from other countries to convey something that I know can be universal. But at the same time, it's really important for me to address stuff that I see every day.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. So that was an interview with Alex and Juanta. His film, You'll Never Be Alone, let's hope will find distribution. I'm sure it will. It was an excellent film, and he's an excellent filmmaker, so looking forward to seeing what he's going to do in the future. I've been Will, and this has been episode 1 of Future Kino. If you've enjoyed it, you can find more on futurekino.com, or you can subscribe on iTunes. No pressure, but totally click subscribe. And I'm going to be interviewing more filmmakers during the entirety of the Berlinale and beyond. And looking forward to embarking on this fruitful cinematic journey with you. All right, peace out. Bye.